Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael to kick off our new series in the book of 2 Samuel.
Well, you may have come across a series on Amazon Prime called The House of David. I think they've done a couple of series on that. My wife and I have watched it, and the big picture story is definitely there. They've done a good job at that. It's not verse by verse, but it does capture the story. As you think about the life of David, what an intriguing Bible personality David is. And David cast a shadow to the ultimate, the greater David, that is the Messiah. David is the anointed king, and of course, he rises up. He's the unexpected choice. I would say one reason we want to do this series in the book of 2 Samuel is to look at this remarkable life. You know, God said of David, he is a man after my own heart. And when you think about our Christian life, when you think about what is it that would really make a difference in terms of how we would define ourselves, what we would aim to be, it would be a man or a woman after God's own heart. Our heart for you as you participate, listen to Walk in Truth, is that that heart of David, but more than that, that heart of the greater David Jesus would be so part of you. You would be so transformed into the image of the greater David Jesus that your life would be pleasing to God and your life would be a blessing for you and for others. We're going to jump into the book of 2 Samuel. We're excited that you're along with us. Tell friends that we're airing the book, and we're going to go through what the Bible says about David and the house of David. And I look forward to bringing it to you. Keep us in prayer. God bless you.
Now, I'm sure you've all heard this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, if I asked you, what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? That's what's behind me, the kingdom of God. I wonder how you would answer that. Do you know what it means to seek first the kingdom of God? What does that mean? Well, we live in a democratic society, and so kings and kingdoms are a little bit foreign to us. We can look at other countries like England, and we can see, well, some of that still remains, and in other countries it does. But kings and kingdoms is what the ancient world only knew. For every land, there was a king and there was a kingdom, and you pretty much obeyed what the king said. And even in the first century context, when Jesus lived, there were the Caesars, and they were the kings. They were the leaders. There were pharaohs in Egypt. There were kings in Babylon and Medo-Persia, and on down the line. And now, at the time that Jesus is living, there are what is called the Caesars. And the Caesars wanted to be called what? Lord. In fact, the Christians got in trouble for not saying Caesar is Lord. They would say Jesus is Lord, and it got them in trouble. You and I, as Christians, this is what we say. And here's another way to say it. We say Jesus is my king. Jesus is my Lord. They're really synonymous terms. And so, as a Christian, what should really be driving your life is that you have decided to make Jesus Lord of your life, your king, your master. What he says goes. Recently, I ran into a young lady, and I happened to be at a gas station, and we had gotten in a little conversation about the Lord. And I asked her if she was a Christian, and she said, I'm spiritual. And I said, so what exactly does that mean? Are you familiar with the Bible? Are you familiar with the Christian faith? And she said, oh, yes, I kind of grew up in the church. And here's the sense that I got. See if you've ever been here. The sense that I got is by saying that she was spiritual and not a Christian, she could decide what it meant to be spiritual. And here's where I'm going with this. And this is what I said to her. I said, look, God has things that he says are right and wrong. When you say I'm spiritual, what does that really mean? Are you defining what it means to be spiritual? Or are you willing to follow the one who said I am King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Are you willing to do it his way or your way? And the sense that I got, and I get this quite often when I talk to people, is she wanted to pick and choose what she wanted to do. So I'm spiritual as I define what spirituality is. Look, if Jesus is your king, he defines your spirituality. That's how it rolls, folks. There are a lot of people in our country right now that want to define their own rules. That's where we are today. We're not living in many ways, even as a Christian church, and I'm talking about the professing church in America and around the world, as though Jesus truly was our king. So we start the book of 2 Samuel with these words. Now it came about, 2 Samuel 1:1, it came about after the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, that David remained 2 days in Ziklag. Now, the book of 2 Samuel starts with after the death of Saul. What kind of king was Saul? Well, he started out with great promise. His name literally means asked for. And he is what the people asked for. They wanted a king. Remember, they came to Samuel and they said, "We want a king. We want to be like all the other nations." And Samuel was upset, the prophet of Israel. And he came to God and God said, "Don't be upset. Give the people what they want. For they haven't rejected you. They've what? Rejected me from being king over them." That's what's happened here. So give them what they asked for. The name Saul means asked for. Sometimes when you get what you ask for, it's not great. We ask the Lord for certain things, and sometimes he says no or wait, and we can whine like little babies. I want it now. And God says, wait, this is not the best thing for you. Am I your king? Are you my servant? One of the images of the idea of a Christian is when you come before a king, what do? You bow. The Bible says every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I ask you, is he your king? Every day, you and I have to decide who our king is. Will you be the captain of your own ship? Will you let the God of this world decide what you're going to do this day? Or is King Jesus going to be the one who dictates what you do? Jesus talked a lot about coming into the kingdom of God. And notice there's the death of Saul and the rising up of David. And Saul was tall and handsome. He was head and shoulders above the rest. He looked kingly. He looked like the right guy, the right choice. But he was what the people asked for. Technically, he wasn't God's choice because God chose a man after what? His own heart. That's what David was. Now, we all know that David was not perfect. We just talked about the story of Bathsheba. But David had the heart of God. He was willing to let God lead him to lead the nation. He was known as the sweet psalmist of Israel. Saul, the number one problem with Saul, what got Saul in trouble was one word, disobedience. He did not follow God. He did not do what God said. And eventually it cost Saul everything. We find this sad scene when Saul is wondering what to do and the Philistines are mounting garrisons against him. He ends up going to a witch, remember? The medium at Endor. And he had kicked all the witches out. But then he's trying to find out what to do and he's desperate. God's not responding to him because Saul's heart is not right. And he goes to this witch at Endor. And there she is. And all of a sudden Samuel comes up. Do you remember this? Some people say, was it really Samuel? Oh, I think it was really Samuel. I think God allowed it. I think the medium was probably as shocked as anybody to realize that this had happened. Maybe it had never happened before. Maybe she responded like Whoopi Goldberg in the movie Ghost, you remember? I don't know what's going on around here. Movie's not theologically correct, but anyway. And it was Samuel. And remember, Samuel said to Saul, "Why do you trouble me? Why did you bring me up? I don't know what to do. God's not talking to me anymore." And Samuel says, "It's because you become God's enemy." And he goes, "I tell you what, here's what's going to happen. Tomorrow, you and your sons are going to be with me. You want a prophecy? You want a word? Here it is. You're going to die tomorrow on the battlefield." Saul didn't even want to eat anything. He was on the ground. wondering what to do. The medium had to convince him to eat a meal. And the end of the book of 1 Samuel ends with the death of Saul. He's actually wounded on the battlefield. He gets hit by the archers and he ends up dying. And the account in 1 Samuel 31 says he commits suicide. That he's hit by the archers, apparently mortally wounded, and he falls on his sword. Falling on your sword has become a metaphor in our culture for what? Taking ownership, admitting you were wrong, saying, I need God, I need help. Sometimes you have to fall on your sword in life and say, I made a mistake, I said the wrong thing. Had Saul metaphorically fallen on his sword earlier, he would have been in good shape. But he ran and he was disobedient and he paid the ultimate price. And it wasn't only him. His sons died with him. And one son in particular, whose name was Jonathan. And Jonathan was very precious to David. They had a covenant, a friendship.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Did you miss part of today's message? You can always listen again on demand. Catch every teaching from Pastor Michael Lance on the Walk in Truth app or wherever you listen to podcasts. It's an easy way to keep growing in God's Word and stay grounded in biblical truth throughout your week. Just search for Walk in Truth and start listening anytime.
Your financial support helps keep Walk in Truth on the radio, and it also helps us reach people all over the world through the podcast. That means someone driving home from work, someone on a morning walk, or even someone on the other side of the globe can hear the hope of Jesus right when they need it most. And here's the cool part, every gift helps. Even a small step like becoming a monthly partner for just $5 a month makes a big impact. Think about it, for the price of less than one coffee, you could help keep Bible teaching going out day after day. So would you join us? Head over to walkintruth.com. That's walkintruth.com and become a partner today. And thank you.
We'd love to hear from you. If today's teaching on Walk in Truth encouraged you, challenged you, or raised a question, reach out and let us know. Send your comments, reactions, or questions to contact@walkintruth.com or give us a call at 844-48-TRUTH. Your story and feedback matter, and they help us continue equipping believers to apply God's truth to their daily walk. That's contact@walkintruth.com or 844-48-TRUTH. We look forward to hearing from you.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
Sometimes you have to fall on your sword in life and say, I made a mistake, I said the wrong thing. Had Saul metaphorically fallen on his sword earlier, he would have been in good shape. But he ran and he was disobedient. And he paid the ultimate price. And it wasn't only him. His sons died with him. And one son in particular, whose name was Jonathan. And Jonathan was very precious to David. They had a covenant, a friendship, a bond of warriors. They had agreed to be good to one another's families. Jonathan had divested himself of the royal garments in a beautiful picture in 1 Samuel and given them to David. He was next in line for the throne, but he knew that he wasn't the man that David was. There was a loyal friendship. And Saul, you know, when you think of Saul, verse 1, after the death of Saul, what do you think of? You probably think of failure. You probably think of a man who came short of all that he could have been. This is what the kingdom of God's about. It's about whether or not you want to follow the king or not. Do you know that only two men of the whole generation of Israel went into the promised land? Not even Moses made it. Do you remember the two men that made it, Joshua and Caleb? Do you know why they made it? Because the Bible says they followed the Lord fully. That's our problem, isn't it? It's hard in our culture with our flesh and the world and the devil to follow the Lord fully. But the kingdom of God is about a decision that you and I need to make as to who we're going to follow. Are we going to follow the Lord fully or not? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. One writer says, David, as we transition from Saul to David, is one of the most important figures of world history. He has captured the imagination of great artists, sculptors, and writers. A large part of the reason for this is the remarkable account of his life and reign found in 1 and 2 Samuel. The story is captivating. In one of the world's finest pieces of narrative literature, the greatness and the weaknesses of this man's life are portrayed in vivid and gripping detail. I was thinking, what would it be like to know that an account of your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, was going to be recorded for future generations? And I'm talking about warts and all. I'm talking about not just your good times, not just your great decisions, not just your spiritual moments, but your moments of weakness, your worst mistake on display for the next 100 generations, should the Lord tarry. How would you feel about that? Would you want to have final control over edits? Can I get a witness? I would. Can we take that part out? That doesn't sound so good, right? But David's life is on display for all to see. And you know, our lives, the Bible says, are naked and open before the one to whom we must give an account. In heaven, there are books. One day the books are going to be opened. And we're not going to be judged for our sin, but the good, the bad, and the ugly, if we're Christians, we're not going to be judged for our sin, is still before God. This is the man who is the unexpected king. You know, when the prophet went to the house, you remember? Oh, surely it's this one, Lord. The Lord says, no. Surely it's this one, Lord. The Lord says, no. Finally, the prophet has to say, you got any other kids? Yeah, there's one out in the field with the sheep. He's the ruddy one. He's a little shepherd boy. That's the man. God does not use people that we expect, the ones that always have the right look and all the gifts that we think should make a person what they're supposed to be. David's story foreshadows the greatest story, that of the coming Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I am going to do 2 Samuel, and we've done one verse so far. And we're going to move into 2 Samuel, but I want to show you just a few things as I introduce this concept of the kingdom of God to you that the Bible says. And I want to try to do this from the book of Luke. So would you go to Luke 4? And I just want to show you what you belong to and how many times this comes up in your Bible. You remember when Jesus first started preaching? He came and he began to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. He said, it's the time. The kingdom of God is what? Is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Believe the gospel. Luke 4. This is one of the purpose statements in the Bible. Luke 4, 43. Jesus has done a bunch of healing at Capernaum, and he says these words. He said to them, 4:43 of Luke, I must preach the what? The kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. Now, there's very few times in your Bible when you're going to see a purpose statement made by the Lord. This is why I came to the world. He will tell Pilate in the Gospel of John, Pilate says to him, so you're a king then? Jesus says, oh, you say rightly I'm a king. For this purpose I was born. For this reason I came into the world to bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate, in the interchange, Jesus says, you know, my servants would be fighting that those who handed me over to you, you know, this would not occur. But for right now, my kingdom is not of this realm. You're a king then? You have a kingdom? Do you remember when the wise men came? They sought out one who was born, what? King of the Jews. And they brought him three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 1. The king and the kingdom of God to which we belong. Chapter 8, verse 1 of the Gospel of Luke says, it came about soon afterwards, Luke 8:1, that he began going from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching what? The kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Go to Luke 11. This is the Lord's Prayer. The disciples were watching Jesus pray, and they wanted to learn what he was doing. And so he taught them these words. He said to them, Luke 11:2, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name. What's the prayer? Thy kingdom come. How many times have you guys prayed that? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, this is the New Testament, you guys, and this is what it says over and over again. Luke 16:16. Luke, move over there for a second. Luke 16:16 says, Jesus is speaking, the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since then, the gospel of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone is what? Forcing or pressing his way into it. It would appear that the kingdom of God is something that you have to enter into. It is something that you have to move into as a decision that you make as an individual. Look at Luke 17. Look at verse 21. This is confirmed in this section. Luke 17:21 says, nor will they say, Jesus speaking, look, here it is, speaking of the kingdom of God, or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is what? It's in your midst. Now, New Agers say, you see, the kingdom of God is in us. All you got to do is look within. Wrong. Sorry. The kingdom of God being in your midst means it's here. I'm here. I'm the king of the kingdom. Or other scholars would say it's represented in the apostles. In your midst means around you. It's right here, right now. In me, the king, and my servants who are part of the kingdom. Would you enter into it? Would you come into the kingdom?
You've been listening to How the Mighty Have Fallen, Part 1 on Walk in Truth. That's Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. If you missed any part of today's program, you can listen to our free Living Truth app or wherever you get your podcasts. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
As we think about David's heart in the book of 2 Samuel, and we watch him grieve for Saul, and of course for his good friend Jonathan, we can see that in David's grief for Saul, there's something so precious, because there's respect, genuine grief, a song that David sings about how the mighty have fallen. Does that impact you when you think about everything that Saul did to David, everything that his father-in-law did him wrong, tried to kill him, pursued him on multiple occasions? David actually could have taken Saul out, and he didn't. He left it in God's hands. And now when Saul dies, David is not celebrating, he's mourning. How does that capture your heart? Does that tell you something about what it means to be a man or a woman after God's own heart? I mean, this man Saul had so wronged David, and yet David grieves him. You know, that's the heart of God. Even when people do God wrong, he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, we're told in the book of Ezekiel. And I think the key for us as we study our Bibles and we listen to sermons is to ask the question, well, what should that mean for my life? Like, how should that change the way that I view people, and even people who may face their own demise? And, you know, maybe in some ways we think, well, they deserved it and they did me wrong. But in David, we see the heart of God. And I'm gonna just let all of us think about, okay, what does that mean for my own life when I'm hurt, when I'm wronged, when I have people, you know, that maybe have been a thorn in my side? How do I view them? How do I pray for them? How do I still love them? These are good questions. And you're listening to Walk in Truth. This is Pastor Michael Lance right here on your radio station or podcasting. And wherever you may be listening, you know, the Word of God is so powerful. It really makes us think. It really does go deep and make me ask questions about how I live and how I react and why I do so. And of course, the goal is to become more like the greater David, Jesus Christ. I pray that that's happening for you as you walk through your Bible, as you listen to sermons, etc. And if you would like to reach out to us and just let us know where you're listening and how long and how the program's been a blessing to you, reach out to us today at walkintruth.com. That's walkintruth.com. You can use the contact form there. And we look forward to hearing from you, and we'll see you right here tomorrow.
Remember, Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Your partnership helps us broadcast on this station and provide the podcast for free. Visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow for part two of How the Mighty Have Fallen.
When you're tired of trying to do it your way and the world's way and the devil's way, and you surrender and you say, "You are my king and I will do what you say." Now, some of you are wondering, well, does that mean that salvation is by works? No, that's not what it means. When you become a subject of the king, we're all in process, right? But do you guys feel like sometimes in the modern church, when an invitation is given, do you sometimes wonder if people even know what they're doing?
I'm Mike Massaro, and thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.